From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's been almost 3.5 years since recreational cannabis became legal for adults to buy, possess, and consume in Illinois. Just last year, dispensary sales in the state totaled more than $1.5 billion, a record sum. But with that growth comes growing pains. The process to issue cannabis dispensary licenses has gotten caught up in a string of lawsuits over the past few years. All the same, the system continues to expand. Sometime this month, the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation will hold its next social equity lottery for cannabis dispensary licenses. Some 2,700 applicants are competing for just 55 licenses. This is a good opportunity to reflect on where the cannabis industry in Illinois stands, where it's going, and whether it's fulfilled some of the promises that were made when cannabis became legal. For that, we're joined by Edie Moore, co-founder and legislative director of the Chicago chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML for short. She's also a retail license holder. Edie, welcome to the 21st Show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Also with us, Peter Kontos. He's deputy director of the Cannabis Equity Illinois Coalition. Peter, welcome to you as well.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
And Scott Redman is founder and president of the Illinois Independent Craft Growers Association. Scott, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Brian. Glad to be here.
Listeners, if you want to join our conversation today, the number to call is 800-222-9455. How have you found navigating the recreational marijuana industry in Illinois? We'd love to hear about it. Have you sought out a craft grower? As we're going to hear, there aren't that many of them. Or are you going with the big companies? Let us know. 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Edie, I want to start with you. As I mentioned a moment ago, we've seen record sales of cannabis in Illinois, but the growth in the industry is starting to slow. What are some of the reasons behind that?
Well, we think some of the reasons could be that consumers are slowing down purchasing from the only dispensaries that are available for them to purchase from. The product is not very diverse. And I think it's kind of just flattening out because there's not a lot of different products out there for them to purchase. I don't think there are any fewer consumers. I think that folks are just looking for better and more diverse products.
When you say they're not purchasing as much, are they turning to illicit sources or just maybe just not purchasing at all?
We don't use the word illicit.
So sorry. All right. Choose your term. Black market. What would you say?
We use legacy.
Okay.
The legacy market is a little cheaper, or a lot cheaper, actually. There's no taxes there. But also, you can get different products. It's easy to get to places now like Missouri, where it's cheaper. It's always been easy to get to Michigan, where it's cheaper. So those are some of the reasons.
Interesting. All right, Scott, I want to bring you into the conversation now. We often talk about the cannabis industry in terms of sales and the dispensary side of things, but from the craft grower perspective, and you know, maybe briefly first, we should just ask, what is a craft grower, Scott?
Sure. A craft grower is a licensed category that allows the holder of the license to grow a limited amount of cannabis in their facility. They can extract cannabis into oils and other concentrates, and they can infuse cannabis oils and distillates into edible products. The difference between that license type and, let's say, the license types that the large cultivators, the big name, we call them big cannabis, they have is that we are only allowed to grow currently in 5,000 square feet of grow room, and ultimately maybe to 14,000. Whereas they're allowed to grow for each license in 210,000 square feet. So we're at a substantial disadvantage. So that's what a craft grow is.
What would you consider a sort of a barometer of success for the craft side of the industry?
Well, initially, for the success of the craft grow industry, we have to get open. There are 88 craft grow licenses right now in the state. And as of today, I believe only 3 have become operational. There are another maybe 10 that are working towards that. but it's become a very, very difficult project to launch because of the economy, because of the lack of investment and interest in investors here in Illinois due to the delays that the licensing scheme has experienced. So it's becoming very clear that it's going to take a long time for there to be a substantial craft grow market.
3 out of 88. I just want to repeat that stat you said. What is the holdup there?
Well, we were held up by COVID and by the government's moratorium on basically any agency having to meet any deadline during the COVID era. And then it was really quite a perfect storm. At the time we applied for our licenses back in 2019, a typical craft grow project was budgeted out at about $4 or $5 million for a full scale craft grow project. By the time licenses were issued for the first round in summer of 2021, because of supply chain issues and a variety of other reasons, the cost of building one has doubled. At the same time, investors got tired of waiting for Illinois to get their licenses issued and have moved on to other pastures, such as Massachusetts or New Jersey or New York. And so we're finding a double whammy: higher cost of construction and supply chain issues, as well as a diminution in investment capital.
Peter Kontos with the Cannabis Equity Illinois Coalition, I want to bring you into the conversation now. There was opposition to legalizing cannabis when it happened back in 2019, concerns among law enforcement, parents, et cetera. Where does that stand today?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a mixed bag. You have a variety of people who are kind of more, you know, more in favor of legalization because they've seen, you know, kids are not, you know, accessing it at higher rates. We don't see, you know, people being poisoned or, you know, people buying bad products, which is, you know, help convincing people that legalization is a real thing. Obviously, the more tax revenue that we collect every month, you know, shows our state lawmakers and our state government that this is a very legitimate industry, because we are more than happy to spend all of the tax revenue that we're making off of cannabis on a variety of different things. And so, you know, the opposition that was there in 2019, you still have a lot of opposition from the law enforcement organizations who are still opposed to things like home grow and other opportunities. But for the most part, you know, a lot of the voices have kind of seen the light and come on board with the legalization plan. That's not to say they're pleased with how legalizations work, because they're still, you know, lawmakers are still upset about the diversity in the industry. They're still, you know, upset that, you know, we're still not as far as we wanted to be with the progress and the promises that were made in 2019. And so there's some folks have kind of been unchanged on legalization, partially because that's their ideology, is they've dug in so much on this issue. But for the most part, we've seen people kind of come over, see the light, and see there is value in legalization, but if we do it right with intention.
Yeah, interesting. And I should just mention to listeners, Peter is joining us actually from the Capitol, the Illinois Capitol building today, in and out of meetings with lawmakers and others there talking about these issues. That's why some background noise in his sound there. Before we move on to talk more about the social equity side, there's one other thing I wanted to ask about. And Scott, maybe I'll direct this to you. We're talking mainly about the recreational side of the cannabis industry, but I understand the growth in the recreational cannabis hasn't necessarily benefited people with medical cards, who, especially in some places downstate, may still have to drive hours to get a dispensary. Can you say more about that and why there is still a benefit? Because it's not like you're getting insurance coverage. Why is there a benefit for people with these medical cards versus just going to a commercial dispensary?
Well, the medical card, if you qualify for a medical card and you obtain one, you're entitled to buy the cannabis without the substantial taxation that comes along with the recreational cannabis. And the problem that we're seeing, and certainly Edie and Peter can comment on it as well, is that there are only 55 dispensaries right now, the original dispensaries, that can sell both adult use cannabis and medical. And those are, by and large, in population centers. And the medical patients that aren't living in a highly populated area are finding that they have to travel a great distance in order to be able to buy their medicine, because for them it is medicine, at a rate without the huge taxation. And the problem then is that these new dispensaries, not only the 55 that are going to be lotteried off in a few weeks, but the 185 that have already been issued, they are only allowed at the moment to sell adult use cannabis. And so all of the dispensaries, the new dispensaries that are going to go into the Danville area or the Springfield area or the Peoria area or the southern tip of the state, they are only going to be able to sell adult use, and that's not going to help the patients. Obviously, the patients can buy it at retail and pay the taxes, but that isn't the appropriate solution for those medical patients.
Let me just take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking just sort of a check-in on the state of the marijuana industry in Illinois. The state sometime this month is expected to hold its next social equity lottery for cannabis dispensary licenses. That was supposed to be a big part of the legalization package here when it first passed about 3.5 or first went into effect, I should say, about 3.5 years ago. We're talking about this with Scott Redman, who's founder and president of the Illinois Independent Craft Growers Association, Peter Kontos, deputy director of the Cannabis Equity Illinois Coalition, and Edie Moore, co-founder and legislative director of the Chicago chapter of NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. She's also a retail license holder. And Edie, let's get into that social equity piece of this, because that was, as I mentioned, that was a big part of the selling of this legislation among Democrats here in Illinois. What is social equity supposed to look like in practice?
Well, social equity, the way that we see it at Chicago NORML, is supposed to give access becoming a cannabis business owner to people who are not, like Scott said, one of the big box growers. So you were, when you applied for one of these licenses, you could qualify for social equity status by living in a disproportionately impacted area, or at that time promising to hire people from a disproportionately impacted area, and a couple of other different things. So those are the ways that you could qualify for that status, which allowed you to have reduced application fees. You were supposed to be able to have access to low interest loans from the state. You can ask me about that in a minute. And and things like that, things to help you get open, technical assistance, things like that.
Well, say more. You mentioned low interest loans. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We have not, dispensary license holders have not yet had an application made available to them to qualify for those low interest loans. The intent of that funding was to help provide up to $500,000, at least that's what the state said, in startup capital for new licensees. And that capital is vital to be used for leasing or purchasing property, legal and professional fees, which are astronomical, OPEX costs like products or payroll. So if someone, you know, has already gotten a building and gotten going, they still have to hire people, that costs money. They still have to buy product, that costs money. And so those, and like Scott said, a lot of the investors have left the state. So we're really counting on those funds.
Peter, we need to take a break in a couple of minutes, but the state stopped issuing social equity licenses for a while before starting up again last year, toward the end of last year. What were the delays there?
So I think we mentioned this a little bit, but, you know, when legalization came in early 2020, you know, there was a timeline and a schedule for all the different licenses, from craft grows to dispensaries, infusion and transportation, to all come out in this organized timeline. When COVID hit, and Scott mentioned, you know, the executive orders were signed by the governor that kind of exempted all of the deadlines in the existing timelines. What we ended up seeing was when the licenses did eventually come out late 2020, you know, there was lawsuits filed almost instantly as soon as the results were released. And so what we've seen is, you know, there was a language passed in 2021 to try and, you know, get more dispensary licenses out the door. You know, there was language to release more craft grows as well. But what we've seen is, you know, continue to see, you know, transportation licenses have continued to come out every year. And so most of the delays with the licenses being kind of, you know, the reason that many licenses have they've been put a pause on is just because the timeline has been totally thrown up in the air because of COVID and the lawsuits. You know, there's a much larger conversation to be had about, you know, the original company that was scoring the applications for these different licenses, because that company, you know, had policies in place that helped make this delay even longer. And you know, while they've been cashing, you know, tens of millions of dollars in state revenue for this work. And so there's a lot of kind of layers to why the licenses have been kind of start stop. But between COVID, the lawsuit, those have been the main two reasons. And, you know, now we're in a position now where, you know, Scott mentioned earlier, we have the craft grow licenses are licensed, but many are not operational. The dispensary licenses that came out last year after the lawsuits finally ended, you know, those are all out, but, you know, they're all conditional. Mm-hmm. None of those are, you know, for the most part, they're not operational as well.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a mixed bag on why the delays have happened.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back, checking in on the status of legal marijuana in Illinois, particularly some of the challenges faced in social equity licenses and among craft growers. This is the 21st Show. If you want to join us, 800-222-9455. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. 3.5 years after recreational cannabis became legal for adults anyway, to buy, possess, and consume in Illinois, we are checking in on the state of the industry. Dispensary sales last year totaled more than $1.5 billion, and that was a record sum, but there has been some slowing of the growth in the industry. And we're talking about why that is, as well as some of the challenges the state has had in licensing smaller craft growers and the social equity applicants. We're talking about all this with Edie Moore, who is co-founder and legislative director of the Chicago chapter of NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. She's also a retail license holder. Peter Kontos is deputy director of the Cannabis Equity Illinois Coalition. And Scott Redmond, founder and president of the Illinois Independent Craft Growers Association. And Edie, before the break, we were talking about social equity. Can you just remind us of some of the promises that people who passed this, Democrats really, made as cannabis was being legalized in Illinois? And just big picture, how well or how poorly have they lived up to those promises?
Sure. So some of the things that we were supposed to be able to have access to is, of course, reduce application fees. That was fine. We were supposed to receive technical assistance or access to technical assistance, and that pretty much has been going pretty well. A lot of folks who were needing to learn how to stand up their businesses were able to get learn things like that from community colleges and also some of the other larger businesses had programs built in to help with technical assistance. So that's been kind of fine. And Chicago Normal and other smaller organizations also help out with that. But the big thing is the money. That's what we really are falling down on is the funding that's supposed to come through the Department of DCEO, the Department of Commerce and Economic something.
Opportunity. Yep.
Thank you. and that just has not been flowing well. That whole program is a big flop.
Scott, let me ask you about the intersection, if you will, of the craft growing world and social equity. Has that been a double challenge to some of your members or would be members?
Well, let me actually clarify here for a second, Brian. Everyone who received a license, whether it's a dispensary license, an infuser license, a transport license, or a craft grow license, so far has qualified as social equity. So all of these license types, all of the licenses outstanding right now, originally were social equity applicants. So, so all of our craft growers qualified under social equity. It's a challenge in some ways. There are social equity applicants who have been applying for loans, whether with the state or with others, who are finding that because of their background or history and the socioeconomic strata that they find themselves in many cases due to the war on drugs and the disproportionate impact of that, aren't qualifying for loans on a regular commercial loan basis. So that is definitely the double-edged sword. And I would like to add to what Edie said about things that were being expected out of the act. Really the largest thing, and Edie touched on the specifics, but the largest thing was to make the adult use cannabis business a social equity business, where social equity companies full of people that were disproportionately impacted by the war on drugs in one or more ways, had an opportunity to become part of the economic boom that this previously illegal activity, and for which they've been disproportionately impacted, what it can bring. And now that it's legal, they shouldn't they should be able to participate and have a leg up and an opportunity to benefit. And that just hasn't happened because the licenses just aren't attracting the investment. And in the case of craft growers, it's because the canopy, the amount of flower we can grow is just too small. And that's one of the things we're asking the state to do, is raise our square footage up to 14,000 square feet, because that's a business you can attract investment with.
Interesting. So, I mean, Scott, it sounds like what you're talking about. So I did not cover this in great detail, but I have covered other state, bureaucracies before, procurement processes. Often it goes to the people who can check the right boxes, who have the right lawyers to help fill out these forms. I understand that there were so many like very highly scored social equity applicants, at least early on. Can you talk about that? Is the sort of the bureaucracy of this? Does the state need to establish new standards to try and reach, what would you say, even farther into these communities to help people who have been affected, as you said, by the war on drugs?
That's a very interesting point that you've made. You are correct. For the craft growers, you needed a perfect score.
That's like number of people from disadvantaged communities and zip codes.
No, perfect score and everything.
I'm giving some of the metrics for our listeners who may not know, right? Veteran status might play into this, all sorts of different, every way you can imagine equity going in state government. Yeah.
And that's the equity portion. You still had to score perfect scores on your security plan, on your cultivation plan, on your business plan, on your community impact plan, your environmental plan. So it was a very high bar. But the state did realize that they had made some mistakes and let people come back and supplement their answers. But in the dispensary area, there were so many people that were excluded from even the ability to get a license based on the scoring, that the statute was amended to allow for a lower score threshold to allow people into a lottery. So I can tell you that from the perspective of social equity, and not the type of social equity we're talking about here, but just overall social equity, there are a lot of people that felt the process was just too expensive and onerous. And I can't disagree with that, because I can tell you our applications, we have a craft grow license, my team does. And if you would have printed out our application documents, they would have been probably a foot thick in terms of amount of paper. And that just doesn't get produced for free.
Yeah.
Right. So, and exactly. Let me jump in here with Scott. A lot of people, when they think about social equity, they think about, you know, not having enough funds, right? They literally, their mind goes to a poor person or someone who's in poverty. You can't do this without the kind of resources that Scott's talking about. It takes attorneys. It takes, it just takes money to do this. And that's one of the things that usually gets lost in the sauce. Social equity does not mean a person who is living in poverty necessarily.
Interesting. Peter, as we're coming to the end of our time together, you know, and as more states are legalizing recreational cannabis, what can Illinois government do to regain the trust of potential craft growers? And I guess, as we've been talking about, more importantly, potential investors.
Yeah, I think the main thing we would say is listen to the advocates. You know, we have trade associations, we have community advocates who've been doing this work for 4+ years. Who have brought everybody together under one legislative agenda that's going to move this program down the line and get us closer to the goals of equity and justice that our lawmakers made 4 years ago. And so our main ask is really to listen to the experts, listen to the people who have put their blood, sweat, and tears into this industry and into this work, because these are the people who know this the most. The people on this call, Scott and Edie, you know, we've had hours of calls together and working on this legislative agenda. And so really our call to action is for lawmakers to really, again, bring the advocates to the table. We've been a part of the House Cannabis Working Group. You know, we mentioned earlier, I'm in Springfield on a regular basis with our executive director, Doug. But ultimately, you know, this is something that is up to House and Senate leadership, and we're really pleading with them to listen to the advocates on the ground who's doing this work, who do not have, you know, ulterior motives other than just to see this program flourish and to be the best thing it can be. So, you know, definitely looking for, you know, the state of Illinois to listen to the advocates. You know, there's serious conversations to be had about the sustainability of our program with the incredibly high tax rate that exists. You know, that needs to be addressed, you know, after this legislative session ends at the end of next week. There are larger conversations about hemp and Delta 8 as well that need to happen over the summertime. And so, you know, our main ask right now is within the 8 days that are left of the legislative session, listen to the experts, listen to the advocates, you know, put us in the game and let us get to work, because, you know, we've written this language, we've all agreed on it. We've done the data, we've done the research, and we know what answers, you know, we have the answers to the test. We're just asking that they listen to us.
All right. Peter Kontos, Deputy Director of the Cannabis Equity Illinois Coalition, Scott Redman, Founder and President of the Illinois Independent Craft Growers Association, and Edie Moore, Legislative Director and Co-Founder of the NORML, National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, Chicago Chapter. Thank you so much for being here today on the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.